bored, or it was getting dark.
He was silent on the way back to his tent, insisting that I join him for a supper which I couldn't bring myself to eat, but sat mute while he gorged with great appetite and drank himself insensible after an almighty prose about his ancestors and how he'd fight to the death and be worthy of them.
"You will see my body,"
says he, slurred and bleary-eyed over his last cup,
"and say, there is a bad man who has injured me, but you will bury me in Christian ground because you are a friend."
Then he fell off the couch. Wiseacres assure me he was in the grip of remorse or tortured conscience. No such thing. He was a drunken sot as well as a monster, and that's all about it. I left him grunting like a Berkshire hog, and made my way through the dark and driving rain to our fine silk tent, and there wasn't a soul within. I demanded of the sentry where they were, and he gave a shifty grin and said they had been moved, by order, to one of the smaller tents. I asked by whose order, and he grinned, shiftier yet, and said I might have the place to myself. I was used up and shaking with the hellishness of what I'd seen, so I rolled inside, half undressed, blew out the lamp, and collapsed on my charpoy. And I dreamed such a beautiful dream of being in that sunny meadow by the Clyde with Elspeth, and we were talking nonsense to each other and began to kiss and play, and suddenly she was changing and turning black and becoming Mrs. Popperwell of Harper's Ferry and Glorious Memory, crying that I was her Shonuff baby, and taking fearful, wonderful liberties, throwing herself astride of me and going like a derby winner. And I was awake, in that darkened tent on Islam Gee, and twasn't Mrs. Popperwell, but some elephantine succubus, smothering me with mountains of fat, and I knew in a trice that it was Queen Tamagno, the randy bitch, who'd bribed the sentry so that she could crawl in and have her wicked will of me. And I was debating in confusion whether to cry, "Unhand me," or let her go her mile, when I heard a distant voice crying aloud, and it wasn't conscience or my better nature, but blasted Theodore coming to the surface through an ocean of Tej. And a ghastly vision smote me of the fate of those who had had the bad luck to be related to people who made advances to royal concubines. And I gave one almighty heave and sent unrequited love, all 17 stone of her, flying from the charpoy. She hit the floor with a fearful flopping sound, and before she'd even had time to squawk, I was through the fly of the tent like a startled fawn, seizing the sentry by the throat and demanding directions. He gasped and pointed as Theodore's voice was heard again, louder this time, calling for his creature comfort. And I hope she heard him and did her duty like a good little concubine. But by that time I was under canvas, tripping over sleepers in the dark and burrowing under a pile of blankets. I fell asleep, and in the morning it was as though none of it had happened. Not the horror of the murdered prisoners, or my flight from the embraces of that female hippo. Unspeakable tragedy followed by terrifying farce. But it did happen, and I dare say the shock of it all would have preoccupied me if great events had not claimed my attention. For April the 10th, Good Friday, was the day the bug hunter uncorked his killing bottle. There are days when you get up and smell death in the air, and that Good Friday was one of them. It was a grey, close morning, with ugly clouds that bore the promise of storm, and waking to the memory of the evening's horrors drove my spirits to the cellar. I told the others of what I'd seen, and it struck them silent until one of them, I forget who, dropped to his knees and began to intone the Lord's Prayer. They thought it was all up with them, and when Theodore came on the scene in a raging temper and ordered everyone back to Magdala, except me, Prido shook my hand in what he plainly thought was a last farewell. I didn't. My guess was that Theodore was keeping his word to put them in a safe place, and you may be sure I demanded to go with them, but he wouldn't hear of it.
"You are a soldier," cries he. "You shall be my witness that if blood is shed, it shall not be my wish. I have word that your army is across the Bekelo and advancing against me. Well, we shall see. We shall see."
Rassam pleaded with him to send a message to Napier, but he vowed that he'd do no such thing.
"You want me to ride to that man? but I refuse to talk with a man sent by a woman.
Which was a new one, if you like. But sure enough, when a letter arrived from Napier for a